Ekhatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with help of Ekhatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive.
Today we're tackling something huge, foundational really. It's the system we all live under, interact with constantly.
Yeah.
The law.
Right. Every single day.
Yeah.
From clipping I agree online to, you know, just owning property or having a job. It's everywhere.
But it feels so inaccessible, doesn't it? Like this alien world of jargon and complexity.
Exactly. It dictates so much how we work, our rights, our duties. But most people feel understandably a bit intimidated. You know, you should understand it for civic life, but honestly, where do you start?
Well, that's our goal today. We're not aiming for a law degree here. We want to demystify things, cut through the noise.
And we're doing that by looking at the work of Raymond Wax, specifically his books, Law and Law. A very short introduction. He's great at providing that conceptual map. Yeah, the big picture. The core ideas, the underlying philosophies, why law functions the way it does in society.
Mm-hmm.
It's about getting the why behind it all.
Wax offers a kind of shortcut, showing law isn't just a dry set of rules. It's dynamic. It reflects our society's struggles, balancing individual freedom with the needs of the group.
So the aim is for you, the listener, to walk away with a clearer sense of those fundamentals. Let's maybe start with Wax himself. His background seems really key to his whole approach.
Absolutely. He's emeritus professor of law and legal theory at the University of Hong Kong, and incredibly prolific, something like 20 books on jurisprudence, privacy, human rights.
Wow.
But it's his actual experience that gives his writing such depth, I think.
He wasn't just an academic from the start, right?
No, he began as a legal practitioner, boots on the ground, then moved into academia, but in really interesting places like Hong Kong, a real melting pot of legal traditions.
And didn't he start his academic career somewhere particularly significant?
South Africa. During apartheid. Imagine studying and teaching law in a system that was technically legal by its own rules, but profoundly unjust.
That must give you an incredible perspective on, well, on the power and the danger of law.
Exactly. How it can uphold injustice, but also how it can be a tool for massive social change. It explains why he sees law as this living institution, not just dusty old statutes.
So his books aren't just for lawyers in training. They're for anyone curious, the citizen who wants to understand the system.
Precisely. Students, professionals needing context, anyone really. It's that map. Not a detailed instruction manual for court procedures.
And the core argument, the central thesis.
It's that law sits right at this messy intersection of morality, politics, and the basic need for social order. It's this constant, ongoing effort, always imperfect, to find order without crushing individual freedom.
I like how he pushes you right into the deep end, philosophically speaking, asking, you know, what actually makes something law, as opposed to just a custom or like a dictator's command? Where does its authority come from?
Yeah, he guides you on that whole journey. From those foundational questions through the practical nuts and bolts courts, judges, making laws right up to today's really tough challenges. Think about tech, globalization, human rights. Law is constantly trying to catch up.
It's like an intellectual roadmap of how law thinks and evolves.
Which brings us neatly to one of the biggest debates in legal thinking. What is law, fundamentally? Wax lays out the two main camps really clearly.
Okay, so first up is legal positivism.
Right. Championed by people like H.L.A. Hart. The basic idea is law is just the set of rules created by whoever has the recognized authority to make them, following the correct procedures. That's it.
So whether the law is morally good or bad is kind of irrelevant to whether it's valid law.
Exactly. If the process is right, according to the system's own rules, it's law. Hart even broke it down further, didn't he, into primary and secondary rules.
Yeah, the primary rules are the basic do this, don't do that. Stuff like trapping laws, criminal laws, paying taxes, the duties we have.
But the secondary rules are maybe even more interesting. They're the rules about the rules.
The meta rules, how laws get made, how they're changed, how disputes are settled. That's what gives a legal system stability and allows it to adapt over time.
Precisely. It prevents chaos. But then you have the other major view. Natural law.
This is the idea that real law has to be grounded in something deeper, like universal morality or reason or fundamental human rights.
Yes. From this perspective, a law that's profoundly unjust, well, maybe it isn't really law at all in the truest sense, it lacks legitimacy.
And Wax uses a really stark example to show this clash in action, the Nuremberg trials after World War II.
It's powerful, isn't it? The Nazi officials argued they were just following the laws that were legally enacted in Germany at the time. Technically, under a positivist view, maybe they had a point.
But the prosecution couldn't accept that. They appealed to something higher, a universal moral law. Concepts of humanity and justice that, they argued, overrode the state's written laws.
It shows the deep, uncomfortable tension. If law is just rules, what happens when the rules themselves are monstrous?
But then the flip side. If anyone can just claim a higher moral law to ignore a statute they dislike, doesn't that undermine the very predictability and order that law is supposed to provide?
That's the core dilemma, and it's why this debate never really goes away. It's fundamental.
Okay, so moving from the philosophical wrestling match to how things actually work on the ground, Wax also contrasts the world's major legal traditions.
Yeah, the two big families, common law and civil law.
Common law is what we're most familiar with in places like the US, the UK, Canada, Australia. It's judge-made law, isn't it?
Yeah.
Based heavily on precedent.
Exactly. Judges look at how similar cases were decided in the past, that principle of stare decisis, let the decision stand, and apply that reasoning. But they also adapt it.
Wax uses that famous case, Donahue v. Stevenson, the one with the snail.
The snail and the ginger beer bottle. Classic. 1932. Before this, basically, a manufacturer wasn't liable to the end consumer unless they had a direct contract.
So this woman finds a decomposed snail in her opaque bottle. Sounds lovely. Gets sick. But her friend bought the drink for her. So no direct contract of the maker. Under the old rules, she was stuck.
But the judges in that case saw the injustice. They effectively created a new legal principle, the general duty of care that manufacturers owe to consumers. That's the heart of modern negligence law.
Wow. So the judges literally made new law based on the facts and a sense of fairness. That's common law in action.
Exactly. Now, contrast that with the civil law tradition dominant in most of Europe, Latin America, parts of Asia.
That's more about comprehensive written codes, right? Like a big rule book.
Precisely. Think of it like this. Common law is like a vast, constantly annotated collection of past case files. Civil law is more like a systematically organized statute book. The judge's main job in a civil law system is to find the right section of the code and apply it to the facts. Less room for judicial lawmaking, more emphasis on applying the written law.
Okay, that distinction makes sense. And Wax connects this back to the law and morality puzzle with another big debate, the Hart-Devlin debate.
Yeah, this was a famous clash in mid-20th century Britain. Lord Devlin argued that the law absolutely must enforce a society's shared public morality. He believed if private behavior deviates too much from the core moral consensus, society itself starts to crumble.
So law's job is partly to protect the moral fabric of society.
That was Devlin's view. But H.L.A. Hart pushed back hard, arguing for the harm principle.
Which says
that the law should only step in to prevent actual harm to other people. What consenting adults do in private, even if others find it immoral, shouldn't be the law's business. Using state power to enforce morality alone is, for Hart, a dangerous overreach and limits liberty.
You can see that tension playing out all the time, can't you? Debates about, I don't know, drug legalization, euthanasia, free speech limits.
Constantly. Is the law trying to prevent tangible harm, or is it enforcing a particular moral viewpoint? It's that fundamental question again and again.
So Wax gives us the philosophy, the big traditions, the moral debates, and then he provides a kind of practical map of the legal world itself, dividing it up.
Yeah, the basic division is between public law and private law. Super useful distinction.
Public law deals with the state, right?
Yeah.
Individual versus the government.
Exactly. So that includes constitutional law, the rules governing the government itself, criminal law, offenses against society as a whole, and administrative law, keeping government agencies and bureaucracy in check.
And private law is everything else between people.
Pretty much. Relationships between individuals or private groups. So contract law, property law, and tort law, which covers civil wrongs like negligence, defamation, personal injury. Knowing that basic split helps make sense of legal news immediately.
He also touches on how courts work. The different system.
Right. Briefly. He contrasts the adversarial system common in common law countries with the inquisitorial system.
Adversarial is the courtroom drama stuff.
Yeah.
Two opposing sides battle it out. The judge is like a neutral umpire.
Basically, yes. The idea is truth emerges from the contest. Whereas in the inquisitorial system, often found in civil law countries, the judge takes a much more active role. They often lead the investigation, question witnesses directly.
So less of a contest, more of an inquiry led by the judge.
Kind of, yeah. The goal is framed more around finding the objective truth through investigation rather than determining a winner between two sides. Understanding that difference is key to seeing why legal processes look so different around the world.
Okay, so if we zoom out again, what are the big recurring themes WAX wants us to take away from all this?
Well, I think there are a few key ones. First, definitely law as a social institution. It's not abstract logic or mathematics. It's deeply embedded in a society's history, its culture, its power struggles. It reflects the values and conflicts of the people it governs.
So different societies might solve similar problems like online privacy in very different legal ways because their underlying values or histories are different.
Exactly. It's not always about one being right and the other wrong. Law reflects the society. Second big theme, the constant balance of stability and change.
Law needs to be predictable, rely on precedent, so people know where they stand. That's the stability part.
Right. But society changes. Technology races ahead, think AI, biotech. Social values evolve. Law has to adapt, or it becomes irrelevant or unjust. So it's always performing this tightrope walk between consistency and adaptation.
Makes sense.
What else? A really important dose of realism. The limits of legal solutions. WAX is clear that law can't fix everything.
Right. You can't just pass a law against every social problem and expect it to disappear.
No. And sometimes trying to over-legislate to regulate every tiny aspect of life can actually create new problems, stifle innovation, or undermine personal responsibility. Having realistic expectations about what law can achieve is crucial.
Good point. And maybe one more.
I'd say the inescapable discretion of judging, especially in higher courts, and definitely in common law systems.
The idea that judges aren't just robots applying rules.
Absolutely not. When laws are ambiguous, when old precedents meet completely new situations, like applying 18th century free speech principles to the internet, judges have to exercise judgment, creativity, discretion. They're actively shaping the law, not just finding it.
Yeah, WAX really emphasizes that human element. He also has a knack for summing up these big ideas really memorably.
He does, like this one. Law is not merely a system of rules. It is a living institution that embodies the aspirations, conflicts, and compromises of the society it serves. That captures the living law idea perfectly.
And on the connection between law and morality, he says something like, "The persistent question of whether an unjust law must be obeyed reveals the enduring and inescapable connection between law and morality." Puts that whole dilemma in a nutshell.
So true. And my favorite, maybe because it manages expectations. The rule of law is not a guarantee of justice, but it is a necessary condition for any sustainable form of justice.
Ah, that's crucial. You need the predictable framework. First, the rule of law. Even if the outcomes aren't always perfectly just. Without that framework, justice is just arbitrary.
Exactly. Process matters. Predictability matters.
Okay, so we've got this richer understanding thanks to WAX. How does this actually help us, you know, in everyday life? What are the real-world applications?
Well, first off, better civic engagement. Understanding things like constitutional limits, why judicial independence matters, the difference between making law and applying it. It lets you evaluate policy debates more critically. You can hold politicians accountable based on principles, not just gut reactions.
Makes sense. What about professionally?
Huge implications. If you're in business, tech, healthcare, you're swimming in regulations. Understanding that these rules often represent attempts to balance competing values like, say, public safety versus economic growth or data privacy versus security helps you see them not just as annoying hurdles, but as reflections of societal priorities.
So you can navigate them more intelligently, maybe even contribute to shaping them better.
Right. And even on a purely personal legal awareness level, knowing basic contract ideas when you sign an apartment lease or understanding that duty of care principle from the snail case when you think about responsibility, it just makes you a more empowered individual in your daily dealings.
I think what surprised me most reading WAX was this sense that law is genuinely participatory. It's not just handed down from on high.
Yeah, we're not just passive subjects. Every court decision interpreting a vague statute, every social movement pushing for legal change, society is constantly interacting with and shaping the legal system. It evolves because we evolve.
It's a constant dialogue.
It really is. And the lasting insight for me is thinking of law as the fundamental operating system of modern society. WAX gives you a glimpse into that code, and understanding even the basics of that code isn't just academic. It feels like a civic necessity. It lets you think critically about justice, freedom, order, the big stuff.
It gives you the tools to engage with those concepts meaningfully rather than just reacting. It's a really powerful shift in perspective. He makes complex ideas feel accessible, showing the human choices and compromises behind the rules.
Definitely a valuable guide for anyone wanting to understand the world we live in a bit better.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.